The United Nations will airlift emergency rations this week to parts of drought-ravaged Somalia that militants banded from more than 2 years ago. The foray into the famine zone is a desperate attempt to reach at least 175,000 of the 2.2 million Somalis whom aid workers have not yet been able to help. Tens of thousands already have trekked to neighbouring Kenya and Ethiopia, hoping to get aid in refugee camps. Responding to the Horn of Africa crisis, the Jesuit Refugee Service has also announced plans to step up ongoing work for Somalis in Ethiopia and Kenya. Lydia O'Kane sat down with Father Peter Balaeus SJ, International Director of JRS and Communications Coordinator James Stapleton. They told her more about the severity of the situation and what they are doing to help.
I mean, the crisis, also it looks like a new crisis, is a chronic crisis. For years and years, Somalia is at war, not all parts, but a central part, and Somali population are leaving the country as refugees. The Jesuit Refugee Service is working with them since several years already, more in the urban centers, in Addis Ababa, in Nairobi, or in Kakuma refugee camp in the northwest of Kenya. I say it's a chronic crisis of no government, you know, country with no government, we have militia rule. But what is now the immediate, which exaggerates the crisis, is the combination of a non-functional country, a country at war, and a drought. Normally, countries, when there's a drought and the country is functional, they can manage, organize the drought relief and the help. And it doesn't have to come to that catastrophe, what we face now, but it's a combination which hits the people, the combination of war and natural factor of drought in the Horn of Africa.
Now, how is the Jesuit Refugee Service getting involved?
I mean, so far we have been working with Somali refugees in urban centers in Addis Ababa, with a refugee center, but also a refugee emergency office where people, new people who arrive, who need immediate help, and that often implies food, some blankets, till they find to organize their life there and get registered with the UNHCR, medical help. The same thing is in Nairobi, in Eastleigh, in the St. Teresa's Parish. We have a base there, reaching out to the Somalis, and where the whole Mathare Valley is now becoming a little Somali land, which has changed over the last two decades enormously. So we work with the people already since years, and then now also in Kakuma camp in the north. There we work in the psychosocial field. People arrive traumatized, they've seen terrible things. There our focus is on education. On my recent visit, beginning of this month, beginning of July, we met with the government of Ethiopia and the UNHCR in two separate meetings, and both have pointed out to us, JRS, could you not consider also to work in the new crisis, the new camps in Dolo, out in the south east, in the corner, from Somalia, Ethiopia, and Kenya, where at a daily rate at that time, and that continues, around 2,000 people cross over to Ethiopia for security and primarily for food, but to also have security and to stay. And the JRS, also we are not by size an organization which can handle big logistical operations of food relief. That's not our strength and our mandate. We decided to get involved there to respond to the needs, which perhaps are not immediate, but we are middle-term, long-term, because people will not return after a few months. They will stay. They need education. They need psychosocial care, counseling, and these are the areas where we can bring in more expertise. So our appeal is, yes, it's now at when the world listens to the cry of the poor, but we have a middle-long-term perspective. because the middle and long-term perspective is also, if we educate people, and we can manage to educate Somalis, Somali women, one day they will return, and one day that madness of that war will end because people want something different. We somehow, through education, we work on the durable solution. And as also the Bible says, the Vatican Radio can say that the people do not live just on bread alone. They need, even in the greatest crisis of hunger, they need also that care, when I say the psychosocial work, and children need to go to school, there needs to be a purpose in life. So it's a combination. That's what we can contribute. But in that kind of crisis, that's why we also ask for help. Without that, it's difficult to do. You know, it's a new crisis. We were discussing where do we get all the money for the other projects in the north of Ethiopia with the Eritreans and so on. And here's something new. You always think we cannot do it because we have no money, but we ask for it, and then we'll get with that at least what we can do. I'm confident that people will come in and support that.
Who are the most vulnerable? When we think of crises such as these, we do think of young people, young children, mothers. Again, are we looking at these people being the most vulnerable in this crisis?
Yes, that's always, in societies, any crisis hits more the children and mothers who take care of the children or the elderly. And in Nigeria's, we have one of our criteria is always to take care of the more vulnerable. And that applies also in terms of food. Once I thought, we are not an organization which does a lot of food distribution, but when we look carefully and look at the different projects all over the world, we often do that, but very targeted for very vulnerable families. As I said, Somali families or refugees in Kenya, they get a monthly ration of food. Those are the most vulnerable and cannot manage without that additional help. So we do that, and that would be the same thing in a situation once we get set up there. Definitely where the people fall through the gaps, we will try also to make a contribution in that area. Also, we are not covering blanket-wise like the World Food Program or whole camp, that we cannot, but targeted we can, the very vulnerable people.
I think as well... When we think of protection and safety, we in Kakuma Camp, JRS has a safe haven. We think of people fleeing conflict and violence and getting to a refugee camp and finding safety, and it's not always the case. The refugee camps are not always safe for everybody. And in Kakuma Camp, we run a safe haven for women and children who can't live in the camp for some reason. And as people come over the borders, we expect that could be another possible need.
If I might comment also on the two camps in Kenya, we work since almost 20 years now in Kakuma camp, which has been formerly for the South Sudanese, and thanks be to God, they can go back now. There's independence and some stability and peace. But now in the recent year, the camp has been filled up with Somalis. So you have Dadaab camp where we are not involved, but that camp is... overflowing, so it is very likely and to be expected that refugees from Dadaab will be transferred to Kakuma. So that's where we then attend and try to make our contribution to this more recent refugees who come now, because they will also reach Kakuma, because Kenya obviously has not the plan to open another camp and whatever.
Tell me, how difficult is it at the moment for aid agencies to gain access? When we hear about the Al-Shabaab movement and their controlling of different areas, so what is the particular story there?
There was not a talk in Ethiopia about difficulties of access. I mean, the Ethiopian government is in charge of the country. Of course, the roads are not very good and it's very remote, and that's a fact, but not... in terms of inaccessibility due to conflict or fighting, because that's in Somalia, you know. That's why people leave there, because aid agencies cannot go into Somalia, you know. So people come where they can get some help. Normally one would, if there's a drought, you send the drought relief into the country where the people are, but who can work there, you know, due to the war? They have to come and then they can be... helped somehow.
You mean there have been talks of trying to get access for aid agencies into southern Somalia? At the moment, it hasn't happened. Guarantees have been given in the past, and then people haven't been able to access. We think that for as long as there isn't access and for as long as there isn't aid in Somalia, people will continue to leave. And if you like, that's a good indicator of the difficulties in the country, is a large number who are now leaving.
Just looking at the UN summit that was held very recently, how positive is that for helping to raise awareness and maybe to get access to these areas? We see countries pledging money. We see the different leaders of the UN organizations talking about collaborating and coordinating events in Kenya. So how much is that going to help, do you think?
International pressure is going to help. Pledges have happened in the past and they've not been fulfilled. The World Food Programme indicated this as a possible crisis more than 12 months ago, and today we have the result of Somalia slipping down off the priorities, not being important to the international community. Without a shadow of a doubt, what's happening at the moment will focus minds. Populations are looking at what's happening in Somalia as events unfold every day. But we welcome the pledges by states, but we wait and to see whether or not they're implemented.
In countries like Somalia and the Horn of Africa, it does seem to be one problem after another. We have conflict, and then unfortunately we have drought, which leads to starvation, which just seems to be an ongoing disaster, as it were. Problems seem to compound problems.
Yeah, it's a failed state, and instability and disorder is terribly inhuman, because those who have the gun will then rule, and any natural factor like also drought creates then the big catastrophe. But it is already a human catastrophe combined with a natural catastrophe. So
we're not on the ground in Somalia at the moment, but if you like to take the words from the World Food Programme, when they said that most or many of their staff have never seen a crisis of this scale before. I think from the people who were trying to get into the country, that's a very clear indication of the scale of the crisis at the moment in Somalia and the seriousness.
Yourself, having come back, having been there again, seeing it firsthand, what's been going on?
I mean, I could on my visit not visit the south. Was not the time didn't allow. I visit Addis Ababa and then the north with the Eritrean refugees also coming, 1,000 per week, or also not at that scale, but there are also people coming. So there's not just one crisis. There's also the north crisis, now not caused by drought, but by bad governance in Eritrea. So there are also camps growing there and an expansion of camps. So our focus was on that since we already established there. But the urgency of the situation which happened in end of June, now July, beginning of July, made us, and the request of UN and the government to say, okay, we have a lot of work to be done in the north, but we need to get involved there. That's a cry of the poor, and then others encouraging us, so why not to make our humble contribution in that situation?
The Jesuit Refugee Service is now attempting to get involved in Dolo Adu camp. It's a camp that's hosting approximately 100,000 refugees. Our work depends on the generosity of the people who support us. And when people are considering supporting refugees fleeing, the Somali refugees fleeing the country now, please to consider supporting the Jesuit Refugee Service. Because without that, our work is not possible.